Revelation 21, John, the Revelator, the Apostle John, he's been given a very incredible tour of Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city.
Apostle Paul Simon again, au kenwa liedong la ho bona Jerusalem e le motse wa le hodimo.
And the angel shows him and all throughout the city.
Melinyelo kilen le mo bontsha ho potolwa motse ona
wo. Of heaven itself.
Wa le hodimo ka bolong.
And he's even given measurements.
Mo mo fa le ditekanyo.
But then it says in Revelation 21 verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God.
And then
he goes into all the details. But if you jump to verse 21, they began to show him the 12 gates, the 12 entrances into the city. These were the only ways you could come into the city. You could not climb the walls. You could not tunnel under. The only way you could come into the heavenly city was through these gates. And it says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And each of the gates made of a single pearl. Pearls are a thing of beauty. Oftentimes women will wear earrings or necklaces or bracelets with expensive pearls upon them. And everybody looks at beautiful pearls. And they're so impressed by it. But do you know how a pearl is created? It comes from an oyster, a very hard shell. And in the life of this shell, deep in the ocean, an irritant, a problem, comes into the shell. Sometimes it's a grain of sand. And that grain of sand is very irritating to the oyster. But sometimes it's not a grain of sand. Sometimes it's a parasite. And that parasite or that grain of sand, it will be irritating and even hazardous to the oyster. But the oyster begins to secrete a liquid that begins to wrap around that irritant. And it grows. And what at first was something that was so much of a problem becomes something of beauty. These are the gates into heaven. Something of such great beauty, but something formed because of terrible problems. I want to give you a very exciting message today. I want to talk about celebrating the problems in your life. Try not to look so excited. I do a lot of teaching on faith. Faith for breakthroughs, faith for miracles. And it's interesting, some Christians believe if they have enough faith, They will never have problems. There's just one word that describes that theology. It is stupid. Because see, the reality is, if you never have problems, you don't need faith. You need faith because of the problems. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have irritants. You shall have problems in your life that really bother you. And sometimes it's not just a grain of sand. Sometimes it's a parasite. Do you know that there was a parasite that attacked Jesus? What is a parasite? A parasite is something that attaches itself to you and doesn't give, but it takes. Those of you called to leadership, you are going to have parasites in your ministry. Jesus called his parasite Judas. Judas was numbered among the 12. But he was not there to give and serve. He was there to take and live out of self-centeredness. He was someone that Jesus shared his bread with. He fellowshipped with. Judas even had an anointing of God upon his life when he went out and preached the gospel. But yet he betrayed Jesus. You are going to have people around you in ministry. They may seem very gifted. They may say all the right things. But unfortunately, there will at times be betrayal. And you think, why are these problems coming to me? What have I done wrong? Why didn't I have discernment? Well, possibly, God actually used that person as a gift in your life. I'm glad you're excited. Philippians 4, verse 4. Paul said, Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. James said in chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy. My brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. I had a friend a few years ago. Friends, very righteous couple. Very gifted worship leader. God used him internationally in leading worship and writing worship songs. But their 8-year-old son came down with very severe cancer and for several years was close to dying. And the mind begins to think, why would God allow that? Why would God allow that to one of his servants, to a righteous couple? I had a friend in Europe, in Norway, a pastor and his wife, very righteous couple. They sent their 20-year-old daughter from Norway to the United States to go to a very good Christian university. One night she was driving home from a prayer meeting. A drunk driver crossed the road. They had a head-on collision. Their daughter died in that. And we think, why would God allow that? Why did God allow Jesus to be arrested? Why did God allow Jesus to be spat upon? Why did the Father allow Jesus to be beaten? Why did the Father allow Jesus to be whipped so violently his back was torn open? Why did the Father allow him to be crucified? Why? It's because sometimes, in order for God to bring us into the destiny and calling and victories he has for us, he allows the irritants to come. And sometimes there's even a death process involved. But here is the promise of Isaiah. God will give us beauty for ashes. What are ashes? You take a piece of wood. You can use that wood for heating a house. You can use it for building a piece of furniture. You can use it for building a building like this. But when that wood is reduced to ashes, you look at it and you say, it's all gone. There's nothing good. Just take the ashes and throw them away. But this is the power of the gospel. That God can give us beauty for ashes. Can you imagine how crazy the devil began to be when he thought he had had this triumph over Jesus? And all of a sudden, Jesus is opening the gates to hell. And the kingdom of God is triumphing over death. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. And he imparted anointing and calling in his spirit to the church. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And today he's being worshipped by over a billion people. Do you think maybe the devil thought, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Maybe I made a mistake. And you see, in the economy of God, sometimes there's a journey, a path he has for us in our lives, that he wants to bring forth beauty. But sometimes he has to allow things in our lives to be reduced to ashes. You are a highly visionary group of people. As I was here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, in the prayer meetings, and you were testifying about all of these works going on that have sprung up in the last 20 years or so. And you began to share about the vision of what's to come in nations now that you're going after. It was such a thrill to be here and watch that. I found it so encouraging. But last night during worship, as I was praying about this morning, I felt the Lord begin to speak to me out of Psalm 105. Because Psalm 105 teaches us that all true vision from God, it will be tested. But not just tested by the devil. God himself will test you. And I know that's not a popular message. But it's interesting. When Abraham took his child of promise that he'd waited decades for, and now that young man is somewhere between 12 and 18 years old, and God said, take your son, the child of promise that I've given you, and put him on the altar. He obeyed. And Abraham held that knife in his hand. He was about to kill the child of promise that he'd waited decades for. And then God said, stop. And then the Lord said something very interesting. He said, now that I see your heart. We theologically, biblically, we teach that God is all-knowing, the past, the present, the future. And that's true. He knows your days before one of them began. He is El Elyon. He is charting out your destiny very carefully. He knows what's going to come. But yet he wants the experiential knowledge of your love. What would it be like for a man and woman who got married? And 20 years go by. And the wife says, I'm leaving you to the husband. And he thinks, Why are you leaving me? I've always been faithful to you. I've always provided for you. I've always honored you. And he says, why? Why are you leaving me? And the wife looks at him. And she says, you never tell me you love me. And he thinks, wait a minute. 20 years ago when we got married, I told you at the ceremony I loved you. You see, God created us for an experiential life. The Father wants to experience your faithfulness. And the Lord said to Abraham, stop. Now that I see your heart. He knew what Abraham was going to do. But he wanted that experiential knowledge. In Psalm 105, starting in verse 12, speaking about the descendants of Abraham, the future Hebrew people. It says they were few in number, not very important, and they were wandering from nation to nation, but he allowed no one to oppress them. God rebuked kings for their sake. He said, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. And God summoned a famine upon the land. And he broke all the supply of bread. Let me stop there. We look at the problems today in South Africa. And it's so easy to think, oh, the devil has control of things. But is it possible that God has allowed things to come to this point in time so that the church can raise up in the power and the leading and the love of God. And we can release the true bread of life in this time of famine. Is it possible that God has allowed things to come to this point? He's allowed a famine to come to the nations so that the church can rise up and say, we have the true bread of life. Mark, that was a good point you just made. Do not be discouraged by the lack of response. About three people are excited. And so, in this time of famine, he sent a man ahead of them. God sent a man for this very hour. Do you know how he sent him? He allowed his brothers to sell him into slavery.
Huh.
I wonder how many times Joseph rebuked the devil for what his brothers had done to him. But that was the sending of God in his life. And it says his feet were put in irons. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Do you know what that means? He could not walk with freedom. And he felt like he was being choked. Some of you are on the destination of vision right now. You're moving towards what God has called you to do. But you feel like you can't walk freely. And you feel restrained, like you can't breathe very freely. I've got a word for you. Rejoice.
Taba.
Rejoice.
Taba.
You're in good company. Joseph, he was God's man of that hour in history. And it says in verse 19 that until the word of the Lord came to pass, the Lord tested him. The Lord tested him. There is a very fine line when it comes to spiritual warfare. And I love the breakthroughs that when we pray and we rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and the breakthrough comes. But sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Because sometimes God has you like that oyster. You feel so irritated within you. And you think, why is this happening? And you want to rebuke the demons. You want to rebuke the demon of bubblegum chewing. You want to rebuke the devil of bad television. You want to rebuke the spirit of famine. And the Father's just kind of waiting on you. And saying, as soon as you're ready, we'll just continue the journey. Because God has created this movement to be a gateway movement. He has created you as a people. You and your ministries, your calling, your destiny. To be a gateway in cities all over the world. But not just a gateway. He is creating you to be a beautiful gateway. In the New American Standard translation of the Bible, in Psalm 149, it says, God beautifies the afflicted ones. He beautifies us with the nature of Christ. God is in the process with some of you right now. You're being obedient to the vision God has given you. But you feel so overwhelmed. You want to run in this vision. But it's like your feet are in irons. And all you can do is take these little steps. You want to run in the vision. But you feel like your feet are in irons. And you feel like you're gasping for breath spiritually. In San Diego, California, where I go running at, the elevation is about 100 meters. Here we're at 2,000 meters. When I went running this morning, I was going up the hill trying to get back into the city of Clarence. And I'm just gasping for breath. I'm thinking, what's wrong? In San Diego, I can run all day long. Well, here I'm at a higher altitude. And as you're going higher up in the things of God, at times you'll find yourself gasping for breath. The vision will test you. But finally, the freedom came. And do you know that he became the second most powerful man in the world? Pharaoh was the greatest king in the world at that time. And he handed over his authority to this stranger, not an Egyptian. I'm going to say something to some of you. Many of you are pastors, evangelists, maybe prophetic ministries. But over the next few years, some of you are going to be called to the political realm. Some of you are going to be called into government jobs. You will continue to church plant. But some of you in different spheres of influence, it could be in the business world, it could be in government, it could be in media. And God is going to place you in those positions to be a Joseph, to be a person that opens the situation up for the bread of life. We heard last night and a couple of nights ago about kingdom authority. Let me say something to you about kingdom authority. Kingdom authority is beyond church authority. So many people just want to get people into the four walls of the church. God wants to get the church out of the four walls of the church. Into every area of life. to extend the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. But we are to seek first the kingdom of God. And as we look at the governments of this world, do you know what's needed? Is Joseph's. We need prophetic, righteous men and women who, because they've gone the distance, they have not given up on the vision. They know the ways of God, and they make those ways of God known in the Egypts and the Babylons of this world. The vision itself will test you. Do you know when the persecution began against the early church in Jerusalem? Peter and John were arrested for doing a miracle. And then when they were released, they'd been threatened, don't preach this gospel anymore. But they gathered together with the saints and they prayed and they said, Lord, give us a boldness to preach the gospel and grant that your hand may move in healings and miracles. But I want to read you something else that they prayed. In Acts 4:27, they said, truly in this city there were gathered together against Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles in Israel, to do to him whatever plan you predestined to take place. Now, I'm treading on some deep theological waters here. And I'm not trying to preach to you about predestination, because that raises a whole can of worms that I don't want to open up. I don't want to have Steve and Ray sit down with me and say, Mark, you've gone too far. But I want to say this. In the sovereignty of God, sometimes he allows things to take place. Sometimes he even causes things to take place that we do not understand at the time. And it's at that point that you have to make a decision. Are you going to have more faith in the vision God has given you? Are you going to have more faith in the promises of God? Or are you going to put your faith in the warfare and in the opposition and in the problems? Because if we allow the problems and the opposition to determine our faith, God will still love us. He'll still care for us. But you won't become that beautiful gateway. God caused those things to happen to his beloved son. Jesus said in John 12:23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And sometimes that following Christ is walking into suffering. When James said, rejoice in the midst of trials. Was he saying, be happy for the problem? When my friends in Europe, when they lost their daughter in the United States, should they have said, thank you, Lord, for that drunk driver? No, of course not. When James said, rejoice in the midst of the trials, he wasn't saying, thank you, God, for the problem. He was saying, thank you, God, that you're bigger than the problem. When I was diagnosed with my blood disease 10 years ago, I was beginning to have a lot of health issues. And I was about to fly to Australia. My doctor was very concerned. And they said, we need to do some blood test. So they did a lot of blood tests. The next day I flew to Australia. When I landed in Sydney, I turned on my cell phone. My wife was calling for me. And she said, Mark, the doctor just called me up. And the doctor said this, tell Mark not to be alarmed. Let me tell you something. Anytime a doctor says those words, don't be alarmed. You should really be alarmed. The doctor said, tell him not to be alarmed. But he could have a very, very serious blood disease. And the doctor said he can't wait till he gets home to the States. He has to go to a blood specialist in Australia. It's very quick. And I couldn't see a blood specialist for a week. We were doing a lot of meetings. But in the middle of the night, my hotel room, I'd be waking up thinking, oh God. Is this something minor? Is this something serious? What do I have? And then when I saw the blood specialist, I found out I have a disease. And I pray about it all the time. I have people pray for me at times. I shared yesterday that for the first time in 10 years, I have a good blood report. But here's the point I want to make to you. 10 years ago, when I was diagnosed with that blood disease, I began to see a radical increase of people healed of blood diseases. Because you see, there's this kingdom principle that Colin was telling us about the other night. That the strength of God is made real in your weakness. And sometimes when you're running up that hill and you say, Lord, I'm here running for your glory. Why is it so hard? Why am I panting, Lord? The Lord would say to you, because it's in your weakness that my strength is revealed. About a year after I was diagnosed with the blood disease, I was in some meetings in the United States. And I prayed for people with blood diseases. A man was there from another church. This man had been in the army in the United States. But when he got out of the army, he started taking drugs, started messing around, and he came down with hepatitis C. And his liver was almost destroyed. And he came to Christ. But he lived in pain and weakness every day. In his church, they didn't pray for the sick. But some friends had brought him to this meeting. And when he heard me say, if you have blood disease, come to the front. He said, okay, I'll come to the front. When he was prayed for, he said he felt this incredible heat come over him. He had never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit before. The next day, he was feeling very different. But he was going once a week to the clinic and they were giving him massive injections of medicine. And he said, doctor, before you give me the injection, could you check my blood again? Because he said, I'm feeling really different. And they checked his blood. And they couldn't find the problem. But the doctor said to him, this man's name was Jay. The doctor said, Jay, believe me, you still have the disease. It's just your numbers are going up and down. And he said, Jay, you need the medication. So they gave him this massive dose. But there's a problem now. There's no disease for the medicine to fight. So Jay immediately got very sick. He couldn't leave the clinic. They put him overnight in a hospital room there. And in the middle of the night, the man in the bed next to him presses the button. Because he needed a nurse to come help him out of bed and get into the toilet area. So this male nurse came in. Jay had never seen this nurse before. And the nurse helped the other man out of the bed and helped him into the toilet room. And when the man's in the toilet room, this nurse turns to Jay and said, Jay, what are you doing here? Jesus healed you two nights ago. Jay feels again the power of the Holy Spirit come over him. The next morning, the doctor comes in and says, Jay, we need to give you more medication. Jay said, doctor, I don't know what's going on. But he said, I can't take any more medicine. And Jay, against the doctor's orders, left the clinic. But he said, doctor, who was that new nurse you have? And the doctor said, we don't have any new nurses. He said, no, you had a new man working last night. He came into our room. They said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Jay.
Within 2 weeks, for the first time in over 10, 15 years, Jay was able to get a job and start working. He was able to start exercising. He bought a bicycle going to and from work. And he came back about 6 months later to the clinic. And he said, okay, doctor, do all your tests. They did all the tests. His liver was perfect. There was no hepatitis C.
No, so sin hepatitis C.
And I can tell you, in the last 10 years, I've seen so many people healed of blood diseases. Why would God allow me to see more people healed of blood diseases when I have a blood disease? It's because God does not use us because of our strengths. He uses us in our weaknesses. And the beauty of Joseph, all those years he suffered, when he finally became the most powerful man in the nation, do you know who he reflected? He reflected
Jesus.
His brothers came to him. His brothers didn't recognize him after all these years.
But
his brothers were starving. Maybe the old Joseph would have looked at them and said, you betrayed me. You rejected me. So I'm rejecting you. But you know what? Because God had given given Joseph beauty for ashes, he reflected Christ Jesus. You see, when Christ Jesus hung there on that cross in great agony, people who died on the cross, they died usually because they couldn't breathe. Their whole diaphragm was stretched out, hanging through the wrist, the peg through the wrist. They could hardly talk because they couldn't breathe. The only way they could get a breath was to raise the body up through their peg, through the feet. Jesus looked at the crowd, and he didn't say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He said this, Father, sinking back down, and in pain, raising himself up again, gasping for breath, forgive, sinking back down, gasping for breath, in pain, raising himself up, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is the beauty of our God. This is the beauty of the cross. This is the beauty of Jesus. This is the beauty of the gateway to the heavenly city. Everybody loves to look at a pearl. Women love to wear pearls. But pearls come about because of a hard process. And as you run as a people after the vision for the nations God has given you, the Lord will allow you to be tested by the vision He gives you. But you persevere. You persevere. Because the call upon you as a movement, the call upon you as leaders, the call upon you as the saints is to be a beautiful gateway into the kingdom of God. I wish I had a happier message to give you this morning. But, you know, the beauty of Christ, nothing compares to it. Nothing compares to it. Are you still alive? Just allow the Spirit of God to rest upon you right now. Just put your Bibles down, hold your hands out to the Lord. Just allow the Spirit of God to fill you right now. Just allow the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Could I have the keyboard player come up? One of the musicians come up. Just allow the Spirit of God to rest upon you. Allow the beauty of the Lord to rest upon you. Here is the promise that if we will not grow weary in well-doing, you will reap what you've sown. And where some of you are sowing in tears, you are going to reap in joy. Where some of you have been sowing in tears, you are going to reap in great joy. Just allow the Spirit of the Lord. Please close your eyes. Just focus the eyes of your heart on the Lord. Don't focus on anyone. Just focus on Jesus.
Right,
allow the goodness of the Lord to come upon you. Just allow the goodness of the Lord to rest upon you. You see, we want our comfort to come from the situation. God wants to be your comfort. He wants us to derive our peace and our joy not from the situation, but from the person of God. It's as David sang. It's as Jeremiah said, Lord, you are my portion in the land of the living. I want to ask everybody just to keep your focus on the Lord. But if you feel like right now, over the last few years, that your feet are in irons and you're being choked, you can barely breathe, would you come to the front right now? I want to bless you. Thank you. Could we stretch hands of blessings to these men and women? And if I could ask Steve and Ray and some of the leaders here, if you would join me. Father, I want to thank you for every man and woman standing up here right now. Father, we know it sounds perverse, but we thank you for the irritations you've allowed into their lives. Because you're creating beauty for ashes. You're creating these men and women to be beautiful gateways for the kingdom of God. I feel that in my heart of hearts, this is not so much a prophetic word, but it's an apostolic word for you as a movement. And Steve, I'd like to ask you to say a blessing over this word for the movement you lead here.
Thank you, Father. Father, I know that as you called us to be this great apostolic people group, you called us to be obedient. And we know, Lord, that in being obedient, we have faced many things that at times have felt like they are choking us. But Lord Jesus, we know that you smile over us and that your promises are yes and amen. And so I bless every one of those up front here, that in the midst of severe trials, and for the rest, Lord, gathered here, even for many who couldn't make this, that Lord, your grace, your favor would rest upon us, so that in everything we do, we would rejoice always, knowing that you said you would be with us always to the very end. Bless us, Lord Jesus. I bless my dear friends, fellow leaders, partners in the gospel. Keep us, I pray, Lord Jesus.
If you are fighting any sort of blood disorder, could be diabetes, could be hepatitis, you could have anemic blood. But if you have any sort of blood problem, including diabetes, would you just stand right now? Or if you are standing, lift a hand to the Lord. If somebody around you is standing right now or has their hands up, would you put hands upon their shoulders? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask for a release now of the miracle power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak to the pancreases And I rebuke the diabetes in the name of Jesus. I bless your pancreas now in the name of Jesus. To be rebuilt now. To be rebuilt by the creative power of the Holy Spirit. I take authority over the weakness and I tell it to be healed in Jesus' name. I speak renewal to your chemical system. To send out the proper nutrition. For your blood to produce the perfect amount of white and red blood cells. The perfect amount of platelets. I take authority over weak, anemic blood. And I bless your chemical system to be made well now in the name of Jesus. Your body to have the perfect nutrition coming to it. I bless your blood to be healed. I take authority over any hepatitis or immune diseases in the blood. I break off immune diseases. I break off hepatitis. I break off the disease of HIV. And I speak cleansing in the name of Jesus. Cleansing to your blood and your chemical system. We break off blood disorders now. And we speak healing. Strength. And I bless livers to be healed as well. I bless your liver to be made well. To release the toxins out of your body as God created it.